On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York and the host of On the Ground.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and of course, this is On the Ground, but this is a very special show of On the Ground because it comes right after the conference by the International Federation on Aging, its 17th conference. It took place in Cape Town, South Africa, and we are looking toward a convention for the human rights of older persons, and we're looking toward IDOP, the International Day of Older Persons, which takes place on October 1st. Now, one of the issues with regard to all of our human rights is what would a convention say? And while we can discuss all of the usual suspects for inclusion, have you thought about the place of artificial intelligence, something that may ruin, rule, and perhaps enhance our lives in the future? Well, somebody has been thinking about that. Her name is Dr. Caroline Green. She's the director of research in the Institute of Ethics and AI Accelerated Fellowship Program at Oxford University. She's been studying AI with regard to older persons in two ways, very practical way, its use in long-term care, but also in a theoretical way. How will AI affect our lives? Does it have to do with our human rights? And should it be included in a convention on the human rights of older persons? So, Dr. Green, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, what I do want to start with is your research right now with regard to the impact or the intersectionality, as they like to say in the UN, of human rights for older persons and AI. What are you studying right now? What is the research all about?
I think artificial intelligence, something that, especially in the last couple of years or so, with the emergence of big new generative AI systems like ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilots, and so on, I think it's on everybody's mind. And what I find really interesting is that it's affecting all of us in our everyday lives. Specifically, I've seen the use of generative AI systems and other types of AI systems in the care for older people, in care homes, for example, in people's own homes, and how it can transform their lives, but also the lives of caregivers, for example. But we are also learning more about the potential risks and also the harms that we are already seeing. So coming from an ethical perspective, and I've got a human rights background, this is a topic that's very urgent to look at for us. And it's important to understand what kind of vision we want, what future of AI for older persons do we want, and that protects people's human rights. So that's why I'm interested in this topic. And, you know, it's in our lives. So we need to think about it.
Well, let's unpack this first for the individual. One of the things that we do want included in a human rights declaration for older persons is digital equity. In other words, yes, everyone should have access to the digital world, to the internet, access to the hardware that's necessary. Should this be part of a right of an older person to have lifelong learning so that they can use AI? Is that part of the research? And if so, is there any danger in it? We've seen that isolation kills. And sometimes AI can be confused with a companion and used for fraud. These are all the things that's being discussed with regard to your research.
Absolutely. Let me tell you a little bit about how I actually work with older persons in my research. So I am a qualitative researcher. That means I, you know, study people's own stories and realities and experiences. I interview people, I work with focus groups, and in a very specific project on the, which we call the responsible use of AI in long-term care for older people, I've been working with a group of senior citizens in London, and we've been trying to make sense of AI as a group. And what I always find, and does not just within that group, but generally when I talk to older people, is that they're very much interested in AI. They want to know what it is. They are intrigued and how they're already maybe using it. And they see it maybe, you know, with grandchildren or their own children, how they're using it, people in the community. But there's also a lot of fear. And that fear is fueled by some experiences they may have had. So you've just mentioned scams, and I've come across a few people who are victims of scams, or, you know, are closely to be a victim, or they hear something in the media. So, you know, AI, there are these narratives still in the media very much around harms that we are seeing, that they're sort of emerging, and risks, and then the existential threat narrative is also still quite big. So people are worried. And you just mentioned learning and, you know, digital access and lifelong learning. I think education and awareness is key here. And we do not need to become expert computer scientists to understand AI in our own lives. But we do need resources for people to ensure that they understand what it is, what some of the limitations are, technical limitations, but also what some of the risks are in relation to how we're using it and how others may be using it, and then how to protect ourselves. And I can tell you of some very good examples of how in some communities I've seen police officers working with older people to make them understand how scams might come about, how AI might be used in that. And that's been very empowering for some of the people I've been working with. So yes, lifelong learning is so important. And people are excited about AI. They do want to know what it is, but they're also worried. And we need to think about that.
Well, you know, that leads me to think that the right of privacy, which is discussed so often with regard to our new online world, is part of the rights of older persons, that they have the right to privacy, to say yes or no to the use of AI with regard to themselves and their data. So let's talk about data for a minute. I'm not sure people understand, and I know I don't, how AI tracks data, uses data, and comes up with what might be influential information to stakeholders, policymakers, and decision makers. I think that's one of the big issues with regard to the older person and AI, that we're not represented, or we're represented inadequately or even falsely, so that decision makers who are looking at AI for information may really get skewed or negative information. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so I think let's take one step back and actually think about the term AI. So artificial intelligence is really a term that's being used for many different types of systems. Yeah. And so one type of, and it depends what type of system we are actually looking at here, what role data plays and what role personal data plays. So it's really important to define what sector we're looking at, what type of system, how it's being used. But let us take one type of system. Let's go back to generative AI. So generative AI refers to AI systems that generate new text or videos or images or so on. It's like OpenAI's ChatGPT and so on. There are many different models. And people can type in a question, or it's called a prompt, something that they want the system to generate for them. And for those of you who have used these systems before, you know what it looks like. But it's basically a little bit like a search box on Google or whatever. And you type in that prompt, and then a text will be generated. Now, these models, the way they work, they've got something usually, something called large language model underneath it, which has been trained on a lot of data. So on a lot of data on the internet. And what they essentially are very powerful word predictors. So here, personal data, and is not just personal data is really important, but generally data, how older people are represented in that data. And what we do know is that ageism is rife, and we do actually see that within those systems. So how do we see that? Someone may generate some sort of text that has something to do with older persons, and that text may be very openly discriminatory against older people.
And we've seen ageist. And just, you know, we have systemic ageism, so why not? People are putting in the data and they're ageist. That's what AI is going to have as their resources.
Absolutely. And of course, people are also ageist, right? So you may be generating a text and then act on that in an ageist way. So that is a problem. And then another issue about data privacy is, let's go to healthcare provision. If, for example, you have got a medical assistant or a care worker who's supporting an older person, and they use one of those open systems and they type in someone's private information because they want to generate a care plan or they want to know about that person's symptoms. And they put in, oh, Adrian Berg is, so-and-so old and she is experiencing these systems. And they press the button and then they send it into the world. They have shared your personal data with the world, essentially, because it goes back into these big systems, right?
Yes.
So that is a privacy consideration, of course. And if we go to now to informed consent around the uses of these type of systems, again, that's a very big topic, one I think we could talk a lot about for a long time. But yes, I think when it comes to healthcare provision, first of all, organizations, people who are using these systems, they need to know of the risks for data privacy and how they should be or should not be using these systems safely. And people, older people who are subjected to the use of AI in their care or in their everyday lives, they should know that this is happening and they should be giving consent to that. But again, it's such a big topic and it's very complex and complicated, right? So we need to unpick that more. And that's what I'm trying to do with my research.
Now, let's take a look at two very specific things. We're focusing right now on the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, and two in particular. From what you just explained, one could be very positive. One of them is social inclusion for older adults. It seems to me that there are very positive things that can come out of the use of AI on many levels, by the individual, by researchers, that would increase inclusion. So let's take a look at the positive side. How do you see AI working beneficially to keep us part of our culture, because very often we're marginalized?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are great potentials here. So there are some wonderful AI systems already in use out there, which are all about democratic processes. They're very much about inclusion of and lifting of voices of people who are usually not as heard. And we've seen some examples of such systems being used in various places around the world for policy making to create or find a common ground amongst so many voices where it seems like there cannot be a common ground, right? So actually here I'm thinking of some work I'm currently doing with Ambassador Audrey Tang, who used to be the first digital minister of Taiwan, who's doing some groundbreaking work on this. And together we're theorizing around a new framework or way of philosophy of thinking of AI and the relationship with us as humans and how AI can build relational health amongst people and really lead to more inclusion of people and older people too. Now, of course, what I've heard quite a lot and questions people have asked me when I talk to them about this as well, often people don't actually have access to the hardware or the internet or so, and they don't know how to use these systems. So how are you going to include them meaningfully, not just theory? And I think here is, first of all, we shouldn't just say, oh no, AI, that's not going to work for older people because they don't know how to use it and they don't have access and so on. First of all, let's go back to lifelong learning. Yeah. Make an effort to support people to learn how to use these systems. And then I've seen some beautiful examples how younger generations have helped older generations to build these bridges, to support them to use these systems. In some communities in which people don't have access to internet, for example, you could have a person like an ambassador who then goes out and knows how to use these systems, does have access to internet, and ensures that people's voices are heard in that way. So I think we need to we really need to be a little bit visionary on how we can use AI and bring it into communities and lift older people's voices. I think there's a lot of potential here.
Yes, and of course, as you said, the ability to be heard and the ability to have a preponderance of evidence for decision makers is something that AI can deliver. as long as there's input. So that brings me to the second SDG that we're looking at, and that is poverty. It seems to me, first of all, that not enough money, not enough programs are being spent to educate older adults, not just to work, but to be able to continue to work in the same field they're already in, because technology runs away with them sometimes, and they seem to be unable to grasp it, but that's not true. So with AI, I think that's going to be doubled down. So we've got the importance, as you say, of training, lifelong learning, so that older adults are not simply assumed unable to use AI, so important for work as it will be in the future. But more importantly to me is to take folks who are already retired, who can work, but not on the physical level they used to be able to work, and to train them so that they may be able to, as I say, work sitting down, which is really what all technology work is. So there's a possibility of employment with regard to the use of AI in the future for older adults who know all about it. But what else do you see? Do you see AI being better able to quantify how much in dollars we contribute to an economy so that we seem to be more important to that economy than ever before? Has there been any connection between eradication of poverty for older adults and the use of AI in a positive way?
So, I wouldn't be able to say that I've seen any evidence, the direct link between AI and the eradication of poverty. Actually, you know what this is making me think of? It's one of the biggest learning points I've taken away from our time together here in Cape Town at the IFA's International Federation on Aging conference, is that AI is already a very emotional topic for many people and for some of the advocates of older people's rights here as well. And why is that? And specifically people from lower and middle income countries, I have found. It's very emotional because AI is being seen as something that is potentially harmful to people, that it's all about capitalism making money out of people. It's about who's building these systems, so big, powerful companies, rather than the people on the ground, let's say communities or so, building and having control over AI systems. And what does that have to do with poverty? Someone here said to me, look, we've got these very poor communities here in South Africa, and we are seeing AI and technology, if at all, only being used to abuse older people, to scam them, to understand, what their vulnerability profiles are so that, they can be harmed in one way or another, their money stolen or so. So we don't want to have anything to do with AI. We don't really think this is going to help older people. And I think it's really important to understand that AI has already got a very emotional connotation, and that many people will probably be rejecting it and do not think that it could be a force for good. So, especially when it comes to poverty, I think we really need to think about this because, yes, there are people making a lot of money from AI, and there are big companies that are very powerful behind these, right? So let's just question our own perceptions of AI and what it can do. But then to step back again, I do believe that in the future, we will see new opportunities. At the moment, people would say AI is taking people's work, right, rather than creating new jobs. So, I think that here we still need to see how things are going to work out. I believe that there will be new jobs created. I also believe that there are many potentials for older people, not only when it comes to supporting their independence in their own homes, healthcare provision, and so on, but yes, potentially also to create new opportunities for them to generate income or a livelihood or so on. But I think that there's still a lot of work to be done. And I think AI and poverty, this is something that we need to be careful, and we need to understand people's perceptions already towards AI.
I do think that as long as we have a human rights framework, we will be able to do, and I've learned from Cape Town that there's a push and a pull if you want to get something done. And in this case, I think it's the push. We are definitely going to have to push for the use of AI in a positive way for older adults, as opposed to opposing it entirely, because that is not going to happen. That's why your research is so important. And that's why the word ethics in your research is so important. Your slant here is a lot more than technical. It's the ethical side of what's happening right now. So to conclude, aside from Cape Town, where you got the surprise perhaps of how emotional this issue is, from your own research, has there been any findings that are surprising you or sending you in a few different directions than you thought you would be going?
So from my research, first of all, into the use of AI in long-term care systems, what's been heartening rather than surprising, you know, that research is a very collaborative piece of work that has been very much co-produced with people who are receiving care, care workers, care providers, tech providers. And we came together and we stepped back and we decided, what is it that we value in long-term care? What is it that we want to protect, yeah, when it comes to the use of AI and to further? And what we came up with is that what it's all about is to protect the human rights, the well-being, the flourishing of people who are needing care and support, and that we then build systems on top of those values to protect them, and how AI might also be able to help further them. So, you know, I thought that that was really surprising, because it was not about how much more effective and efficient AI can make long-term care with all the big problems that we've got in that sector, staff shortages and so on. No, it was about what do we value as people and how do we want to protect that? And if we're now looking at a broader scheme of things of human rights and older persons and AI, I think we've got a real opportunity here on that process towards a new convention to step back and ask ourselves, what is it that we value, that we want to protect? What's our vision for the future for aging populations? And what role could and should technology, emerging technologies, play within that? And secondly, I also think that we've got a huge and beautiful opportunity to create a new convention in the digital age. We can use these systems in an ethical, in a thoughtful way, to get global voices, intergenerational voices, into that process. And this is a piece of work that we want to do with international civil society, where we use AI systems for that UN process that's to come. So hopefully you'll hear a lot more from us about this in the future.
Well, you know, I've attended several of your lectures and your roundtables and your workshops, and it's a wonderful opportunity, as you say, for us to grow in a direction that the world is going to grow, and not leave us behind. And thank you so much. So for everybody else, you certainly can listen to this not only on our website, many of you are listening to on the ground on our website, gnec.ngo, but also if you are a subscriber to Spotify, Apple, or any other platform, you can listen there too, on your phone, on your computer, on your tablet. So thank you so much, Dr. Green, Director of Research, Institute of Ethics and AI, Accelerated Fellowship Program at Oxford University. Take care.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And for everybody else, you know what I'm going to say, never stop changing the world.